This has been an interesting number of the last several weeks, trying, challenging for some of us. There has been four deaths in this district, in all of the churches, members or families of members that have died. One suddenly, and three of them because of sickness and disease, of cancer. And I was just talking to, last night I went to the Louise's viewing, and I was speaking to David and Mary, and it's interesting, I find, that when I was a little boy, you would hear about cancer, but it was very sporadic, like, hey, you know, somebody real far away has cancer. It wasn't as prevalent as it is today, isn't it? It seems, I'm willing to bet that each person here knows at least one person, friend or family, that has cancer. Wouldn't you say that? It's just prevalent, and it's a heartache to see the pain and the suffering that these things cause. And of course, this past week, of course, we are still hearing about the Orlando terrorist attack, and the pain that causes. And it's hard to imagine that as bad as something like this is, they said at least in the United States, this is the worst massacre in history. But David was telling me, it's funny how, you know, we see things from our perspective, but 50 people in places like Syria, it's like a drop in a bucket. And this is the world we live in. This is a place we call home, and it's hard to imagine that we haven't seen anything yet. And I don't know about you, but I'm kind of tired of this. I'm kind of tired of the heartache, the pain, the fear, questions. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to go home. I'm ready to go home. I'm homesick. Have you ever been homesick? Remember homesick? Yeah, it's not a real pleasant thing. You can go on with your life being homesick, work, or you know, being with your friends and family. It doesn't matter. But if you're homesick, your mind is never where you are. Your mind is always home, because that's where you like to be. I remember when I was in the Navy, in the Navy boot camp, I had never been away from home. I was 18 years old. My parents gave me everything. I never had left home. I was never by myself. And here I was now. It was just me. And, yeah, boot camp, it's boot camp. If you've been in boot camp, you know, it's not necessarily the easiest thing. It's not the most pleasant thing to be in, but you're there. And I remember on a particular Sunday, Sundays were the easy day in boot camp because it was the day of rest. You know, I was Adventist already, unfortunately. I just had baptized in May. In June, I went to boot camp, so I wasn't, I didn't have a lot of experience. So, but anyway, Sunday was the day of rest, and so the company commanders weren't around, and so you could go to service, or you could read, relax, hang out with, you know, the rest of the guys. And I remember a particular Sunday, I was so homesick that I sat behind my bed, and I just started to cry. Here I am, 18 years old. I miss my mom so much. Poor baby, right? I miss Lucy. She was my girlfriend at the time. And I tell you, it was just hard. I was so homesick. I did not like that feeling. And I wonder, when I think about this, I wondered if Jesus felt homesick. You think about this, because Jesus had spent eternity with his Father in the presence of the angels. And for the last, you know, if you think about at least his ministry, last 30 years, now he's in this world of pain, heartache, suffering. Was Jesus homesick? Did he feel homesick? Did he want to go home? I wonder if he looked forward to being there. I know that I planned for it. Constantly, you know, when I was there in boot camp and through A school and all that, I that's all I thought about, going home. And I had it all planned out, how things were going to be when I got there. It was just looking forward to the day. And I wonder if Jesus did the same thing. The Bible talks about the time, the day when Jesus went back home. We read about it in Acts chapter 1, in verses 6 through 9. The day that came when Jesus finally went home. I imagine he looked forward to that day just like I did for the day when I finally went home. Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. And I have the New King James Version. As a result, those who had gathered together asked Jesus, "Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel now?" Jesus replied, "It isn't for you to know the times or seasons that the Father had set by his own authority. Rather, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be witnesses in Jerusalem, my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And after Jesus said these things, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. Jesus went home. When it was time for me to go home from Navy, I had only told two people. I told my dad, because I wanted to make sure that he made whatever arrangements were necessary. And then I told my brother, my older brother, because he was supposed to pick me up. I didn't tell Mom, and I didn't tell Lucy. In fact, I lied to Lucy. This is just a little white lie, because she would always ask me, "When are you coming home?" And I said, "Well, when we graduate, they're going to ship us to the Marines for 5 weeks, so I'm not coming home till the following year." And that's what she was expecting. But all along, I knew that, you know, I was going home. I was going home the day before Thanksgiving, and it was, in fact, that's why they didn't ship us to the Marines, because it was Thanksgiving weekend, and so otherwise we would have gone to the Marines. But anyway, I didn't tell anybody. So the day arrived, and my brother picks me up, and we get home maybe around 11:30 in the evening. My dad's still up; he's sitting on a chair watching TV, and you know, I was in the military. It was a really proud thing for my father. In fact, he never said, all the years that I was growing up, he never said, "I'm proud of you," until I joined the Navy. But anyway, he got up and gave me a big hug and everything. My mom was sleeping already, and so how do I wake her up now? Because, you know, it was supposed to be a surprise. I was standing there in the living room, you know, you wanted to make her a big surprise. So he goes into the living room, into the bedroom, and I don't know what we were thinking. So he shakes her, and he had a pet name for her, so he called her a pet name, and "Listen, you need to get up." I said, what's going on? I mean, you can imagine. And she got angry for waking her up. "Well, the TV is broken. I need you to come and fix the TV." "The TV? I mean, come on, what did my mom know about TV?" Oh, man, she was angry. "What, the TV?" And she goes crumbling. "Give me a break." And, of course, she comes out of her room, and then I'm standing there. And as you can imagine, Mom, you know, opened her eyes and starts crying and gives me a big hug. And It was a nice occasion, just like I imagine it would be, because I wanted to surprise Mom. And then Lucy, I visited Lucy the next morning, Thanksgiving Day, and when I got there, she had just gotten up. She was in the bathroom, so I start talking to her mom. She could hear a conversation. She thought it was the neighbor, and so she comes out of the bathroom. So think about it. She just got, you know, she sleeps on a T-shirt. She just got out of the bathroom. She just got up. So she comes out of the bathroom, looks at me, and I wanted to give her a hug, but of course it would have been inappropriate because she's in a T-shirt. So she went home and she got the room and changed, and it was a great day, you know, because again, Thanksgiving, so we had Thanksgiving dinner together. It was all I imagined it to be. The Bible also talks about what happened when Jesus went home. The celebration that took place when he went home. We read about this in Revelation chapter 5 in verses 8 through 12. The time when Jesus went home, the celebration of Jesus going home, Revelation 5, 8 through 12. "Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and a golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth.' Then I looked and I heard a voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." So scholars tell us that the spirit of prophecy also says that here, this scene, this throne scene in Revelation 5, that's what takes place when Jesus makes it home. He is accepted as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's the scene of his coronation, the scene of his exaltation, because he had redeemed us to God by his blood. And so there's a scene of worship. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Jesus went home and he was worshipped, honored. Now, when I went home from boot camp in A school, of course, I wanted to take some time off. You know, it's perfectly natural. I had been through boot camp and all, so I just wanted to relax and chill out. And so it was Thanksgiving weekend and a Christmas afterwards, so it was perfect for that. Just got back from camp meeting, or a few weeks ago anyway. And one of the things our bosses, you know, our superiors from the conference tell us, when you get home, and they tell that to all the pastors, when you get home, make sure you take some time off. Because camp meeting, although some people, unbeknownst to me, I mean, I don't know why, some people do take their vacations during camp meeting. Yeah, they go to camp meeting for their vacation. But pastors, you know, you got to work a little hard on vacation, camp meeting. So you're supposed to take some time off. Now, I haven't taken time off yet. Pray for me so that I can find it, plug it in somewhere. But, you know, you think about when you work hard, you need some time off. Jesus deserved the vacation. He went home. It would have been perfectly natural for him. Well, I'm going to just relax for a year or two. After all I've been through, I want to relax. But Jesus didn't go home to relax. He went home to make preparations for you and me. And he told that to the disciples. He said to them in John 14, our scripture reading, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Notice, in my Father's house. My Father has a house. You know, Jesus spent all this time while he was here on earth in connection with his Father through prayer. Still, I imagine he wanted to see his Father face to face. That's the relationship he had with his Father. May it be for us as well in our relationships with our children and children with their fathers. But Jesus says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, but I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." Jesus went home to make a place for us, and he uses the analogy of the Jewish wedding, because in the Jewish wedding, the father and the groom would travel to the bride's house to make the arrangements for the wedding. In some cases, the groom had never met the bride yet. And so they meet and they make all the arrangements, and now the groom with his father return home to prepare the house. The groom had to work hard to prepare a place for his bride. And when it was all over, he would return and gather the bride to bring her with her to his house. And so this is what Jesus is saying. But notice Jesus says, "In my Father's house are many mansions." I know that Lucy is disappointed when I tell her that this word mansion just means room. It's not this huge house that we imagine to be, "Oh, I'm going to have a 3-car garage and, you know, 5 bathrooms and all, and a pool and all those things." A mansion, what we imagine a mansion to be. But Jesus is saying, listen, in my Father's house, in his house, there's room for you. You're going to live in my Father's house. And I think that is even better, because I'd rather live with the Father than live with my, you know, I mean, I know I'm going to be in heaven. Listen, I'll live in a shoe closet in heaven if I have to. But if you have to choose to live in a mansion by yourself or live in God's house, where would you want to be? In God's house. And Jesus says, listen, my Father's preparing, I'm preparing a room for you in my Father's house. There's room for you there. There's room for you there. And you know, we look forward to eternity because of that. When I went home, with you know, from boot camp, date was set and everything, but just like the government does, the Navy would withdraw that money to pay for the ticket from my paycheck. It's not like it was for free. I had to pay for it myself, so they take the money out. But Jesus already paid for our ticket. We are going home, and the purchase of the ticket has been completed by the blood of Jesus. And so all we have to is to look forward to our own homecoming. Again, all I thought about was going home. Every day I just thought about it, I look forward to it, and I wonder if you're looking forward to that day today here. Especially in light of the times we're living, in light of the discouragement and the pain and the grief that some of us have been through, especially in the last few weeks, are you looking forward to going home? Well, today, as we take part of our communion service, that's what we ought to remember. Jesus paid for our ticket, and we are going home. There will be a great homecoming, better and greater than you can ever imagine, and we will be there with our Savior. Are you looking forward to that? That's what this means today for us. As we take part of our communion, think about home, because soon we will be going home. Before we pray, I want to just give the logistics of our foot washing. Of course, we in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, we do our foot washing ceremony, and we do that because we're following the principles and actually the command of Jesus. In John 13, John 13 verses 12 and on, he says, "So when he had washed, that is, Jesus had washed their feet, taken his garment, and sat down again, he said to them, 'Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you.'" So ought to, this is an imperative statement. You should, you need to, you must follow this example. And this is why we wash each other's feet. And there's a meaning behind it. If you have questions about the meaning, you can see me afterwards. So we will separate for our foot washing. Gentlemen will be here into the room here on my left, the last room. And the ladies will be in the fellowship hall across the sanctuary. Let's all stand and have a word of prayer. Our gracious Father, we thank you that in spite of the difficulties, the trials we have experienced and are continuing to experience in this world, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. This world is not all there is. We look forward to the day when we will be in your presence, when we will be among the celebration that will take place, the angels and you and Jesus, the Holy Spirit, everybody worshiping you and honoring you for what you were willing to do, for paying for our ticket home. Oh, Lord, may we keep this in mind. May this precious homecoming encourage us in the days ahead. Guide us and direct us now as we take part of the foot washing service and the communion part afterwards. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.